Let's turn now into Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to stray a little bit from our outline, so we won't need to even worry about the outline. In my outline that I have here, we're supposed to deal with the values of chastisement, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. But we'll deal with that in 2 weeks. Actually, I will not be here next week either. But in 2 weeks, we'll deal with that. But I do want to deal with the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. So have your Bibles open, and we'll take a look at this wonderful passage. I was looking at some of my notes that I've gathered over the years, and I got an illustration. I may have shared it with you. I don't know. But if I have, please forgive me. And in my age, I forget whether I have said these things before. And in your age, you have probably will forget it within a week or two as well. Right? So we're probably both safe. Oh, wow. All right. Anyway, George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a famous evangelist. You might remember that. He asked a man one day, what do you believe? And the man said, well, I believe what my church believes. And so Whitefield said, well, what does your church believe? And the man responded, why, my church believes what I believe. And so Whitefield said, well, what do you both believe? And the man said, well, we just both believe the same thing. Oh, my. You know, there's a lot of faith without conviction. That's the sad part, isn't it? People say they believe, but what do they really believe? Were you going to say something, Preacher John?
I had a lady that did that.
Huh?
I actually had a lady say that to me.
That same thing?
I believe what this church
believes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's it, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of people like that. They have not investigated for themselves. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, folks, we're looking today at chapter 12. And here it talks about, right there in verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, the Christian life is described in many ways, is it not? Sometimes it's described as a walk, you know, a walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called, or walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then we have the analogy from the matter of just physical growth. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're born into God's family as children. We are to grow into a spiritual adulthood, into maturity, conformity to Jesus Christ, right? And then Paul uses the analogy about, I lay the foundation. You're supposed to build upon it. You can build with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. Someday, the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ will evaluate what you and I have done, whether it's good or bad, whether it brought honor and glory to him, or whether it was just useless. Well, here we have the description of a race. Now, I was never a runner in high school. I played high school tennis 3 years. And actually played water polo. In the city of Erie, Pennsylvania, there are 5 high schools, and we had swim teams, and we also had a water polo teams. And so I was the deep end goalie 1 year on Academy High Lions. We won the city championship. But so those were my sports. I liked to play golf, but I could not play golf and tennis at the same time because they were going on. And so golf has taken over as my knees could not handle tennis anymore. But God gave to us 2 children. Gary, our son, was a football player. I don't read much about football in Scripture. And he did play golf. But our daughter, Gail, turned out to be the runner. And she was a cheerleader. But she also ran track. She ran track for 6 years. We used to go to her junior high meets. She ran the 100 and the 200. She was also part of a girls' 4x100 relay team. And Gail went 3 straight years to the state championship and 1 year won it as a high school with the medley team. So we used to go up to Ohio State, and when the football field up there, the Ohio Stadium had the track around it where they played football. They don't have that today, of course. But we sat there and we watched them run around and cheer for them. So it was quite an experience. Any of you out there involved in running? Ran in high school, let's say, ran in high school or college or something. You ran, John? Mm-hmm. Did you? What? What event?
100-yard dash.
Did you really? Yeah. How many of you would have ever thought John was could run the 100-yard dash? Huh? But what about that? All right. You would have beaten me, Arthur.
Same thing, but...
You ran the 100-yard dash, Arthur?
Believe it or not.
I don't believe it, but that's wonderful. That's great. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay, so these guys like to run the short ones. Any cross-country runners out there? Oh, come on, Lou. You are not a cross-country runner. You the guy that raises tomatoes? You ran cross-country? Oh, my. How many miles was that in high school? Was it 2 or 3 that you had to run?
About 2.
Yeah. Wow.
We ran until we got on the side of the coast and walked the rest of
the Well, you know, the race that the writer here is talking about is probably more a marathon because it's a race that we run for life. And even though you and I are up in years and we don't compete like that, God tells us you are still running. And let's take a look at this race then. We need some encouragement for this race, don't we? So take a look at verse 1. It says, therefore. Of course, therefore tells us, what's it therefore? We go back to chapter 11. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, these witnesses are found in chapter 11. We have been looking at them for several weeks, have we not? These wonderful biblical characters, real men and women who trusted God when the going went tough. They endured. And their testimony is given to you. You go back to chapter 11, for example, in verse 2, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. That's the same word for witness. And you go throughout here, you find out where they were testifying or witnessing. You and I are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't think this means that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are looking down from heaven and watching us. I don't think their eyesight is that good that they can do that. Well, we're still human, and I think even after we get into God's presence, we are not going to have divine characteristics. God is everywhere present. He can see what happens on earth as well as what's happening in heaven. But our eyesight is limited. Although it is amazing, we can see, can't we, stars. Way out there. Light years away, according to what they say. We can see them. But I think what this means is that these witnesses that we just talked about in verse 11 is bear witness to us today that God can guide us through difficulty. And we can endure and we can survive. And we can thrive, and we can grow, we can mature if we trust him and do what he wants us to do and to become what he wants us to become. Let me just share with you a verse found in Romans 15. In Romans 15, Paul put it this way. You've probably turned to it every once in a while. He says, "For whatsoever things were written before," and he's talking about the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, "for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning." A lot of people say, "Well, I don't need the Old Testament." Well, do you think you know more than Paul? Paul says we learn from the Old Testament. There's things there that we can learn from. "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We can look at these people and found in chapter 11. We can go back into the Old Testament and see when they lived and how they lived. And that can encourage us. We can learn from them, from their experiences, their bad experiences, as well as their good experiences. And we can have hope. Because God, by His Spirit, can encourage us through the Word of God. Now, look what goes on, he says. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily ensnares us." Now, John, when you ran the 100-yard dash, how were you dressed? Like a football player?
No.
How were you dressed?
In shorts and a short tee, or, you know, strapped on.
Did you wear clodhoppers?
Oh, no.
You did not? Work boots? No, track shoes, yeah. They try to get right down, don't they? Let us lay aside every weight. I think sometimes I've seen them, athletes, actually, they run and practice with weights and all that as they exercise and all that, but then they take them off for the actual race itself. Because that slows you down, right? You can't win with those extra weights. What are these extra weights he talks about? Well, what do you think could keep us from running for God successfully? Share.
Our eyes on the world.
Okay, a conformity to the world, a carnality maybe in our lives. That's a possibility.
Lack of prayer.
Lack of prayer. Problems that come into our lives, they can be emotional problems. They can be physiological problems as well.
Cares of this life, grips of the world.
Right. Cares of this life. Right. Discouragement, employment problems. There are a lot of things that can somehow encumber us and keep us from being fast in order to do this. He says, let us lay aside every weight and then the sin which so easily ensnares us. And I think, folks, that the sin which so easily ensnares us is what he was talking about in chapter 11, and that is unbelief, lack of trust in God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you really take God at his word? Do you trust him at all times? In the difficult times, in the good times, when you were in your 30s, in your 50s, can I trust him now that I'm in my 80s? Can we trust him? Can we trust him all the way? And he says, let's lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now notice what he says. Let us run. The author is including himself. He's not only giving an exhortation, a command to the readers of this book, but he includes himself with them. Instead of just saying, you do it, no, let us do it. I'm going to run with you. You run with me, I run with you. Let's all run together. And folks, today, that's for all of us. Let us run. Doesn't matter whether you're, again, 18 years of age or 88 years of age. As long as God has sustained you, gives you life, he wants you to keep on running. And in fact, that's what it says when it says, let us run. In the Greek, it's the present tense. It's the idea, let's run, continue to run. Let us keep on running. We don't stop. We don't stop until the rapture. We don't stop until the Lord takes us home. We keep on going. And he says, let us run with endurance. Now, even in the 100-yard dash, though, people should try to maximize, right? I mean, to go as fast as you can, and so when you cross that line, you've given it all, right? And, of course, in the marathon, what is it, 26-point-something miles? Yeah. That's a lot of miles. You know, when you go to the Olympic, you watch the Olympics on a track every 4 years, they'll show you the beginning of the Olympic race. Then 5 days later, then you see the finish. No, it's not that bad. That's not that bad. But they can go away for hours, you know, before they come back. But it's amazing how they can do that sort of thing. Wow. But let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I take it the race that is set before us is a life to be lived in the will of God for the honor and glory of our God. That's the life that's set before us. You know, Paul says back in 1 Corinthians, and you've seen this passage before. Let me just read it for you. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Now, most people believe, you go into your Bible, Bibles where they have footnotes or commentaries. And Paul here is probably referring to the famous Greek and Roman Olympic Games. And there you represented, you had to be a citizen of your country in order to participate. And then you ran for the glory of your country or from your city or something like that. But when it's all said and done, there's only one. In our modern Olympic Games, you run and there are three awards you can get. Gold, silver, bronze, right? The medals. Now, we live in a culture where today you get trophies just for participating, right? And in one sense, that's true because all of us can win the prize. As Paul says, he goes on to say, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, I'm not competing with you, and you're not competing with me as we run this race. Rather, we are competing with ourselves. Am I going to do God's will, or am I not going to do God's will? Am I going to do it his way or my way? And he goes on to say, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, right, usually with those little oak leaves, or grape leaves made into a crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run, Paul says, thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. He probably is referring here basically to the concept of wrestling as opposed to real boxing. But I discipline my body and bring it in subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And that speaks to me, because Paul is speaking there as an apostle. So easy to minister to others and not minister to yourself. To tell other people what to do and you're not doing it yourself. And I know friends of mine, we share, and many times we end up conversation on the phone and say, let's continue to, let's finish well for God. Let's keep at it until the Lord takes us home. Let's not quit. Let's keep going forward. The Lord has something for us to do if we still have life. And so let's keep at it. He goes on to say, look at then in verse 2. Instead of looking at the line there where they have, you know, sometimes they have a tape and you try to run across it with your chest and break the tape, that type of thing. Or they, of course, they have the beam so they can know the first one that gets across. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. We can learn from Adam. We can learn from Abel. We can learn from Noah. We can learn from Alec. But they're still flawed men. Saved men. They had triumphs of faith, but they also had some tragedies and disobedience. No, we're to follow Christ. We're supposed to follow him. Come, Jesus said, follow me. We are to follow him. Looking to Jesus, the author, and the word author means the one who began it, and finisher of our faith. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The one who began will finish. In one sense, he did finish it on the cross. He said, it is finished, did he not? And that's this basic word as well. But in your life and in my life, he wants to take you from salvation to the time of glorification. He wants to take you all the way. And that process involves what we call sanctification. That is, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We walk in the Spirit and we produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And I noticed this morning in Dave Jeremiah's new series that he's going to be preaching on, that he's building it upon the fruit of the Spirit. 9 things and those characters, those characteristics. Notice this. Who for the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? I want to take you back to Isaiah 53, folks, just for a moment. What was the joy that was set before Christ when he was there on the cross? Well, if you look at Isaiah 53, in verse 11, speaking of Christ, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Who for the joy set before him. That joy involved you and me. That joy involved your salvation, my salvation, the salvation of all men and women and boys and girls who have trusted our gracious God and his redemptive plan centered in Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That's the joy, I think. His joy was found in people, sinners being born into the family of God. And earlier we saw it even in this book where our Lord calls us his brethren. We're his brothers and sisters in that sense. We're members of his family. Notice he endured the cross. Again, notice the Lord doesn't ask us to do something that he himself did not do. He ran. He did the will of God and was climaxed at the cross when he endured. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and there's a lot of shame there, was there not? Mockery, beating, nakedness, all that shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished the task. He did it for you and for me. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And may we encourage one another. Have you ever seen in some races where somebody is running and somebody somehow falls down and another person basically forgets about themselves running the race, picks them up, and then tries to walk them all the way to the finish line? You know, sometimes we have to do that because there's not just one. Each one has an individual prize. God has a will for you. He wants you to become godly and good, holy. He wants you to be compassionate. He wants you to serve. He wants you to bless others, to be a blessing. And may we do that. I think one way, I've mentioned this to you, the very fact that you show up on Sunday night and look around at all these people who are not teenagers, you are an encouragement to each other. You are encouragement to Roger and to Nancy. You are encouragement to me. Let me tell you, it's a lot easier to teach when there are people in front of you. Oh, yes, that's right. Well, God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this passage. And may we, along with the author of this book, who encouraged his readers there in the first century to let us run, may we run also. May we join in. May we realize, our Father, that we can pray every day for people. We can love them. We can witness to them. We can share and help out and give. And just so many different ways that we can somehow bring honor and glory to you and to the cause of Christ. Help us to do it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.